It is communion night. And guess what? I'm going to read some scriptures to us. We are going to look at the scriptures. And I'm telling you, God has been dealing personally with me. Dealing personally with me. It's a new heart. We need a new altar for this new earth. It's just a reminder of how we got to where we are, even in the dispensation of the times that we live in, the times and the seasons we're living in right now. And come with me as I read to us from the book of 1 Kings. That is the first Kings. If you've never been to Bible college, but if you've been to Bible college, it is 1 Kings, okay? So 1 Kings chapter 17, and I read from verse 1, and I will read up to verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 1, and I read, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" And then verse 2, please note this key word and the words in this verse 2. "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward. Hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan.'" And then the Bible tells us in verse 4, "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." And then verse 5, the Bible says, "So he went according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan." Verse number 6, "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." And then verse 7, look at this, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Let us pray. Father, as we open your word, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, pour your spirit afresh into me. But Lord, give me a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, ready to receive your word, to flow into me and through me. And I pray upon every heart that will be hearing this word tonight, hearts that know you, hearts that don't know you, hearts that, Lord, in a way they have veered away from hearing you. I pray upon every heart, Lord, create a clean, a pure heart. I pray, turn our hearts like you turn the heart of kings into a good ground. Lord, you turn the heart of kings wheresoever you will. Turn every heart according to your will tonight to be that good ground, ready to receive the seed of your word. And I pray there will be an entrance of your word, and your word will bring light, will bring understanding. Your word will come in its simplicity, in its power, and you will confirm every word with signs following. To the glory, to the praise of your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, as the Lord lives and as the Lord has been dealing with me, I trust to bring you a word tonight. But remember, we are going to take communion. By communion, what do I mean? Jesus said something before he passed away. He actually did something so profound. He told his disciples that were following him that time, he sent them into a town. He said, "You go into that town. When you enter, you will see," I think it was a village or a town, whatever. He said, "You will enter, you see a man carrying a pitcher of water. And once that man enters a house, follow him into that house. Tell the owner of the house that I want to have supper, the Passover, with my servants there. And the Bible says they went as Jesus has told them. We see this story, this account, I believe in the book of Luke. I think it's Luke and chapter 22. You know, when you read some verses from Luke chapter 22, I believe from verse 10 or thereabout, okay? The 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And they went and they prepared the Passover. Now, the Passover was something that God commanded the Israelites, the children of Israel, to remind them of how he delivered them from Egypt, from the Egyptian slavery and captivity. They were in that captivity for 430 years, according to Bible history and according to the scriptures. And the night God was going to deliver them, God told them the previous night to kill a lamb, put the blood on their on the lintel of their doors, and he said, this night there's going to be a pandemic. You see, I'm just using that word because you can identify with that. The angel of death is going to pass, and every house of the Israelites where I see the blood, the angel will pass over, and the angel of death will not kill anyone there. But that same angel of death passed over the land and killed all the firstborns of the Egyptians. And by the following day, God set them free. They escaped from that captivity. Now, Jesus was reenacting this, but now bringing the reality of actually a shadow of what happened in the Old Testament, bringing it into the reality of the New Testament, the new covenant that God was now enacting with man. And he said, I am that lamb. I will shed my blood. And by reason of my blood, just like what happened then, he says, when you do this, and we take the Passover, we take his blood, we drink his blood, and we take his body. He said, you are doing this in remembrance of me. But remembering what? Remembering what? Number one, God's deliverance, God's salvation, remembering God's reconciliation of, I mean, reconciling man to back to God, because man had lost it. And also to let us know that by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, which is the Passover lamb, we are healed, we are cleansed, we are set free. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. The benefits, he said, he forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. And how does forgiveness come? By the shedding of the blood. This time, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain so that our sins will be forgiven, so that we will be reconciled back to God. So this was the story in Luke chapter 22. And we are doing communion tonight. So what do you need to join in this? Listen, just get some unleavened bread, flat bread. If you can't get flatbread, get like cracker biscuits and get some orange juice, sorry, some fruit juice, blackcurrant, ribena, just something to remind you of blood, the color of blood. In those days, they used the fruit of the vine. So it's just like, you know, cranberry juice, strawberry juice, just something, just to remind us. So get that ready because we are going to do that together. And you will see the significance of that. So I've got mine. If you don't have yours, please get it ready and get this ready. So what are we going to be discussing? What am I going to be sharing? What is laid on my heart to bring healing and deliverance to you, to bring you to that place where God wants you to be? I titled this the way it came to me, Remember How You Got Beside the Drying Brook. 1 Kings chapter 17 that we read, from verse 1 to 7, we see the story of Elijah. And the Bible said, if you look at the history before now, because this is one of the things we need to be careful when we read the scriptures. We need to understand the historical context. We need to understand the context of the command God was given to Elijah. We need to understand what was going on in that time. And then we need to understand, why was God giving this command to Elijah? What was the command? The Bible said, when you see the introduction, because Israel at this time, they had veered away from God. They had missed it. They had departed from following God. The altars where they used to sacrifice unto God, everything had been broken down. Everybody was doing what they liked. And on top of that, they now had a very wicked king called Ahab. And Ahab was encouraging all sorts of idolatrous practices together with his wife called Jezebel that he had at that time. And God will always make sure that in every generation, we are not short of hearing his instruction and his word. He will raise a prophet. He will raise a man that he will send to his people to bring everybody back to himself. God is not wicked, I'm telling you. When we miss it, it comes for us. Now, the Bible says in verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Listen, that is significant. We will unpack that in this subsequent Bible study about the word of the Lord coming to a man. The word of the Lord, this time, taking it personal, coming to you. You see, God is more eager to speak to you, to speak to me, more than even I want to speak to him or hear him speak. Listen, we are looking at tonight. Remember how you got beside the drying brook. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And what was the word that came? The word said, get away from here. Turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. So we see the word of the Lord coming to instruct Elijah to go to a brook. And by that brook, when you read the scripture, God told him what will happen by that brook. And then we see the latter end of that instruction. What happened after a while in verse 7, if we can go to verse 7, you know, between verse 1 and verse 7, he went to the brook. As God said, the ravens came and brought food to him. And in verse 7, what happened? It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Tonight, let me remind us again, if the media can display to us the topic, remember how you got beside the drying brook. Jesus said, when we take communion, do this, he said, in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to be doing a lot of remembering today. And as I was preparing, you know, I sense that we should not be carried away by the spectacular or by the occurrence that happened at that brook, the brook Cherith. Not by the supernatural provision of the ravens, thank God for that. Not by the instruction to go to the brook, thank God for that. And not even the brook drying up. Listen, how did he get to that drying brook? That is the first question. It's not what happened at the brook that is significant. It is how he got to that brook and why he got to that brook. Now you're saying, how does that apply to me? You see, in life, some of us have experienced plenty. Some of us have experienced lack. Some of us might even be experiencing dryness right now. And listen, things don't just happen to us. There is always something that led to whatever happened to us. There is always a beginning before we see whatever happens to us. So if you are on this live broadcast tonight or you're watching the recorded version, listen, there is something that led you to where you are. And the beauty I want to tell you tonight is that wherever you are, at your own level, in that place where you are, whether it's in the place of dryness or in the place of plenty, the word of the Lord will come to you. The word that God is sending to you this day, this season, is what I'm bringing to you by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. The word of the Lord is never scarce. What do I mean by that? It is us, human beings, who don't wait to listen for the word of the Lord that comes to us that makes the word of God scarce. It's us human beings that don't seek to listen out for that voice. The word of the Lord will always come to us because God wants us saved. God wants us delivered. God wants us to live by faith. And our faith can only come by what we hear, the word of God we hear. And that's why you're hearing this word again tonight. But it is to remind us, it's not about the brook. It's not about the dry brook. It's not about the ravens feeding him there. How did you and I get to this drying brook? How did we get to this point? That is the remembrance. And that is why tonight, once again, we are looking at the topic, remember how you got beside the drying brook. And how did we get here? Listen, I bring us the word of the Lord as it came to me. By the grace of God, and if you are sensitive to the times and seasons we're living in, just before I came on this broadcast, I was reminded that by this time last year, this same time last year, we were all inside our houses, especially if you live in the UK, and especially if you are part of the local fellowship, Love Assembly Liverpool, where we are, we were all online. We were not meeting physically. There were all sorts of restrictions, lockdowns, mini lockdowns, full lockdowns. The pandemic was still ravaging. The virus, the COVID-19, the coronavirus was still wreaking its havoc. From April up until October, we were still online. Everybody online. We were, you know, there was still panic here and there. And if you ever heard anybody caught the virus, you know it was like it was a death sentence. There was fear in the air. Every one of us was still panicking one way or the other. And there were deaths, people. People were dying. It was a global thing. It wasn't localized. It was global. So, and by the grace of God, we began to ask. We began to seek God. We were praying. Everybody was on their, more or less on their toes. It was even recorded statistically. People were seeking God more. People were seeking prayers more. People were logging on online because we were not seeing each other freely. You know, the restrictions were still there. People were working from home. Some people couldn't even work again. Depression was high. Everything was, there was fear in the air. Listen, I'm bringing that remembrance because we need to stir up that remembrance to let us know how we got to where we are today. This is 1 year after this same time last year, and we are more or less almost living life like there was no pandemic again. You know, people are throwing caution to the wind. People are going about their businesses, trying to be, and then the cases are even rising in the US, rising in the UK, rising in Europe, rising. The cases are still there. People are still dying. But now there's vaccines, there is the medication. I even heard there was some pill today that the UK government approved that could tackle those who are battling with the virus. Listen, if we don't know how we got to where we are, then we might not have a clue of how to get away from where we are. Yes, when you look at that story in 1 Kings chapter 17, it was the word of the Lord that came to Elijah to go to the brook and instructed him. So how did Elijah get there? The word of the Lord gave him the instruction. But how did he get there? How he got there was how he got to that situation, circumstance, and can be likened to where some of us are, is as a result of what the children of Israel, where they were, what they did, how they are departed from God, how their heart are turned away from God, from their source. Listen, there's this wise old saying that a river or even a stream that forgets its source will soon dry. It will soon dry. Remember how you got beside the drying brook. That's what we're looking at. So how did we get to where we are now? How did we get to looking at this scripture we're looking at today? we sought the face of God, and God began to give us some little understanding and comprehension. With hindsight, we were able to be directed to the book of Genesis. You know, I shared with us, and I'm sharing again as it's reminded me, the book of Genesis, we see the first global pandemic happening right in the book of Genesis. From Genesis chapter 5, we see a man born called Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6, we see where God said he was going to flood the whole earth. We'll see that account if you read the book of Genesis chapter 6, from verse 5 to 8, from verse 17 to 18. I'll just run a commentary because we want to remind ourselves in case you have forgotten how we got to this place where we are, how some of us are in that place and the dryness and the circumstances we're experiencing now. So we understood by the books that this was like the days of Noah that we are living in. People were doing what they liked and God was not happy. God who created mankind said the heart of man was evil. Imagination of the heart of man continuously evil from his youth. And God repented. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. So God was sorry that he made man and he was grieved in his heart. And God said he's going to destroy all mankind, everything that was on the earth. But one man found grace. So we understood and we were looking at that story. And from hindsight, from the context, we saw a parallel to the time we're living in. That was what led to the place where the pandemic started in the days of Noah. What brought about the flood, the first pandemic? Please don't run too far. It was as a result of the heart of man, the heart of people, the heart of mankind. It was evil. It was evil. That set the trigger for the pandemic. Now, we are remembering. I said there's a lot of remembrance we have to do tonight, because if we don't remember how we got to where we are, we wouldn't know how to move away from where we are to where we should be. It was never God's intention to bring about that flood, but it was man's evil, man's wickedness that brought about the pandemic. Somebody is saying, oh, is that the same thing? Are you trying to say that's why what's happening now in the world today? Listen, the scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus has spoken of the time we're living in now. He said there will be pestilences, there will be earthquakes, there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars. Everything spoken, when you read the book of Matthew 24, 25, 26, 27, before Jesus even said the end was coming, we are seeing everything happening right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. The problem is not the drying brook. Listen, the problem is not the dryness around you you are experiencing. It's not the problems around you are experiencing. The real problem is that the heart of man had departed from God. This word is brought to you and to me today to take us back to what led us to the drying brook. It was our hearts, the state of our hearts, the wickedness of our hearts. And let me tell us something about the heart. The Bible describes the heart and says the heart of man, two things, can be desperate, desperately wicked. Listen, this is the most dangerous one. It is deceitful. You see, our own hearts can so much deceive us that we think we are okay, that we hide it because nobody sees the thoughts. Nobody sees the intents of our hearts. Nobody really knows. We're all smiling. We all have beard and white beards and whatever, looking good. You know, we dress well. We wear designer clothes, but it's just a facade. Everybody's looking at you, you're celebrating, you're buying things and buying that and, you know, marrying and giving in marriage and going for parties. Nobody knows what you're covering. Only God, who knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that's what God wants to address. That's why the drying brook happened there. It wasn't about the drying brook. It was the heart that was dry. It was the altar that was broken down. It was the fellowship between man and God that mankind had departed from. It was not about that drying brook. Remember how you got to beside this drying brook. That's the topic tonight. I'm reminding us how we got here. We saw and understood from the scriptures how God decided, you know what? I'm going to destroy mankind, wipe the slate, and start all over again with a man who walked with me. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, we see what happened there, that Noah obeyed God. He built the ark, entered the ark with all his household, and God sent the flood. When you read, all through that catastrophic global pandemic happened, and God preserved him in the ark, told him, get inside the ark. So the reason why that happened, when you look at it again, it was because of the heart of man desperately wicked. God is addressing your heart tonight. Where are you? It's not about what's happening around you. It's not about the dryness you're experiencing. It's not about the secret wars you're fighting that nobody actually sees in the public. To everybody, you look okay, but inwardly, you know you're not. It reminds me of a king in the Bible called Amaziah. We see him in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, when you read verse 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. This is a very personal experience I had many years ago. But then God reminded me again, the Spirit of God is reminding me to tell you, everyone watching, every single one of us, to let us look at our hearts. This king, the Bible records, he was 25 years old. He became king. When he became king, he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Look at that word. He reigned for 21 years. So for 29 years, he was the king. Everybody was paying obeisance to him. Everybody saw him on the throne. Everybody recognized him as the king. Everybody bowed to him. They were told of his mother's name, Jehoiada, Jerusalem. But look at what God saw. For 29 years, this guy was reigning and people were hailing him as king. The Bible said he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Hey, I think that was good. Everybody saw everything he was doing that was right. Everybody saw, wow, this guy is a good king. The Bible says, but not with a loyal heart. Not with a loyal heart. He was doing everything right publicly. He was looking good, but his heart wasn't right. His heart wasn't loyal. His heart was not sincere. I'm talking to someone by the Spirit of God. You know, people are looking at you. People think all is well, but you know all is not well. God knows all is not well. God knows there's a facade. God knows how you got to that drying brook. Outwardly, you look good, but inwardly, you are drying up. Inwardly, you are wasting. Inwardly, there's a wasting disease. You are having your way. You are having the will of your own desires happen. You are following your ambition. You are achieving goals. You are hitting all those targets. Everybody's celebrating you. Yes. And everybody thinks, wow, that's a mentor. That's a role model. I want to be like her. I want to be like him. But you know, you are following your own ambition. Inwardly, you are drying up. Inwardly, there's a wasting disease. Inwardly, you know. Outwardly, you are achieving your goals. You are having everything your heart desires. You are ticking all the boxes according to man's marking scheme. But in heaven's scheme, your heart is not right. You're doing everything that is right before, even before God, outwardly. If God himself will comment on your outward work, will say it's good. But your inward work, God knows you are not loyal. You are not sincere. You are not true to yourself. Your heart is not right. Listen, how did we get to this drying brook? How did we get beside this drying brook? It is the heart. This is the matter that God is addressing tonight. And I bring us the word of the Lord that we need to examine how we got to this drying place, how we got to this place where we are. If you want to be sincere with yourself, listen, you need to recognize what God told us at the start of this year. It was a prophetic word. He says he wants a new heart a new altar so that we can enjoy a new earth. Going back prophetically, understanding the signs of the times and seasons, just like the sons of Issachar, that the Bible tells us in about the sons of Israel, understanding of the times and seasons. We understood by the times and seasons and by the books, the times and season we're living in. Listen, the time and season we're living in is like the days of Noah. Like the days of Noah. Jesus said, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It is high time you and I sit back and be true to ourselves. God wants to create in us a clean heart. God wants to pour a new spirit within us. God wants us not to be outwardly looking like kings, but inwardly we are wretched, we are naked, even though outwardly we are clothed with kingly robes. People are bowing to us, but inwardly we are naked, we are wretched, and we are poor. The word of the Lord is coming tonight so that we will know how we got beside this dry brook, so that we can come back to that place of communion. We can come back to the place of covenant. Listen, it was not about that dry brook that God brought Elijah to. It wasn't about him being fed by the ravens. When you look post those scriptures, you will see that the ultimate thing was that the altar of the God that was broken down be built again, that the prophets of Baal be destroyed, that every idolatrous practice in the land of Israel will be abolished. All the high groves and the high places that were burning incenses to other foreign gods will be destroyed. The thing is that, you see, the high places are secret places in our hearts. What God wanted to do in the days of Noah was what Noah did. And some of us might be like that. And listen, when God began to remind me, he began to remind me of the first word he brought to us right in the first day of the annual retreat last year. And that was expect the unexpected, looking at Genesis chapter 8. And I will just round up now because we need to pray. We need to get our acts, not just the acts, our hearts back to where it should be, with God, but not the old earth, the heart, but a new created heart that hungers, that thirsts after God. You are doing all the motions. You are doing all the services. You are serving. You are doing everything. But you know outwardly, you are only doing what is right. Inwardly, your heart is not right. God is calling you and I to that place of reconciliation tonight. And listen, when we look at everything God spoke to us, expect the unexpected, taking us through when God remembered Noah in Genesis chapter 8. God remembered Noah and every living thing that was in that ark. And when you look at it gradually, from the time God remembered Noah till the time God was going to bring Noah out of the ark, prophetically, we understood by the books that the pandemic was going to ease, things were going to return to normal. But not normal. A new earth will come. The earth we live in today, the world we live in today has changed. Work patterns have changed. The way people are doing things have changed. Businesses have gone, just like it happened during the flood. In the days of Noah's businesses were destroyed, never to come back again. People died. Everybody was affected. If you look at around you and I today, you know someone. If you don't know someone directly, you know someone you know who knows someone who that was affected by the global pandemic, by the virus that is no more today. Listen, it is to remind us of what God ultimately is drawing our attention to. It is our hearts. That is how we got beside the drying brook. That is how we got beside this drying brook. Come back. Don't be like King Amaziah. Get your heart right. Stop focusing on just the acts. The acts may look right, but the heart, you know, God knows, is not right with God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray the word is not to bring condemnation, is to bring us back to God, is to commend us back to our source. The brook dried up. A brook dries up when the source of that brook stops, when the brook itself disconnects from its source. It's a metaphor. It's what God ultimately was drawing Elijah and the people of God and the children of God to, that they will repair the broken down altar. Listen, when Noah eventually came out of that ark in Genesis chapter 8, the Bible tells us in verse 20, he built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering. He took every clean animal, every clean bird, offered burnt offerings on the altar. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is reminding me. If you remember and you recall, even though Noah built a new altar to the Lord, when you read further down Genesis chapter 9, the same Noah, his heart wasn't right. Some of us are building new altars, and we can see visibly you have built a new altar, but you are building it with the same old heart. Your heart is not yet regenerated nor recreated. Listen, God wants new vessels that he can pour new wine into. He doesn't want old vessels that will be receiving new wine, because Jesus wants the old wineskin will burst and the wine, the new wine will spill. Listen, God is bringing us as we go to the communion table to come back, to reign in our hearts, to surrender our hearts, to let him create in us a clean heart and pour a new spirit within us. Noah built a new altar. He offered on the altar, but his heart still wasn't right. He entered into a new earth, but it was still with an old heart. Some of us have built, we've come even to this month of November. Listen, it's the 11th hour. It is never late. It is never late. Even if you know everything God has been speaking to us, you can recite it. You can recall it. But if the foundation is destroyed, what is the foundation? The new heart is not there. Everything God spoke to us from January to February, that you know, you have been building on sand, not on a solid rock, not on the foundation of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was what came to Elijah to go to the brook. And it was the same word of the Lord that took him to the next phase. You and I, until we experience, we obey, we do the first word, the second word will not come. It will just be what we want to hear. Listen, the Holy Spirit is saying at this time that we are living in a time and season where people are heaping to themselves itching ears. People who will tell you what you want to hear. People that secretly in your heart, your desires is to follow your own ambition, never to follow God's word. But you are presenting your ambition as if it's the word of the Lord. And listen, like Balaam, you will keep hearing what you want to hear, not necessarily what God wants to do. You see, we will go to God, and God has spoken. The first word says, don't go. But because secretly in your heart, you have an ambition, and you don't really know, you go back to God, and God will say, go. You see, that's the dangerous thing, and we will unpack this. But really, the aim and the focus tonight is we come back to that place to remind ourselves where we have missed it, where we have fallen off, where we have forsaken our first love. You see, you can know all the themes of the month. You can know, expect the unexpected, God's good and perfectly, rest in God, creating me a clean heart, everything, and get even up till now, where standing beside the drying brook is the theme for this month. But listen, if your foundation from February, from January, which is you having a new heart, is not there, you are building on a faulty foundation. Everything you have done from January upwards on a faulty foundation will be tried. That is what led you and brought you to that drying brook. Remember how you got beside the drying brook. Remember and repent and return to your first love. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. The ultimate aim is for God to recreate a pure, a clean heart that can and will do and accomplish his purpose on the earth. That is the whole purpose, to remind us how we got beside this brook. We got beside this brook as a result of our hearts not right with God. God is bringing remembrance so that we go back to our first love. Remember where you have fallen. I am speaking to myself. I just realize that if I stop hearing the word of the Lord, I will keep hearing what I want to hear. Listen, itchy ears, heap into ourselves speakers, people who will just tell you, and you will take it as confirmation as God speaking, because your ears are itchy, but your heart secretly is not right with God. Listen, I am speaking from a place of pain. I'm speaking from a place of repentance. I'm speaking from a place where this morning I took my wife, as I was driving to work, I took her on a journey of my life, of my mistakes, of how I did things just because I wanted my own agenda to be done. Summary of prayer is not God, come and do what I want. It's not God, come and give me my heart's desire. The purpose of prayer is, God, help me to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. So when I ask God, I'm asking according to his will, so that his will be done in my life just as it is in heaven. I close. Sadly, I was listening and watching, and the Spirit of God was explaining to me, in a country that's a recent collapse, and I was listening with hindsight, an interview that the owner, the developer, was all his motive and everything, the big vision and everything, to build and put up the structure that collapsed and trapped people and killed people. And God was speaking to me. The problem, usually, when there's a collapse, it's not that we, you can build. Listen, if the foundation is faulty, if the materials are not right, the building will collapse. No matter how good it looks, no matter what good intentions you have, no matter what vision you are calling, you are masking, but it's not a vision, it's your ambition. Listen, God is not going to ask you and I what we did on this earth, fulfilling our own ambition. God is going to ask us at the end of the day, did you do what I created you to do? Did you follow the vision of that I showed you? Are you trying to make me say things you want to hear, or are you ready to hear what I want to say? I pray tonight, as we go to the place of communion, that our hearts will return to God. Let us begin to talk to God right now, individually, as we pray. As we pray, Lord, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Can we bring that scripture up? And Ezekiel tells us God's ultimate is to give us a new heart and pour a right spirit in us. Listen, we have come on a journey from January. This is the 11th hour, and the 11th hour is never late. Do not enter the rest of the last 2 days of this year still building on that faulty foundation with a heart that has departed from God, a heart in its subtlety, in its deceitfulness. You are building and building and building on that eventually will collapse. It's not about the good intentions we have. It's about us following godly counsel. Psalm 1, blessed is that man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will bring forth his fruit in season. His leaves will not fail. Listen, whatsoever he does prospers. That's the will of God for you and I. So let's go to the communion table. Psalm 51, as we use that to pray, that is the underlining word that God brought to us throughout this year. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit. The King James Version says, a right spirit within me. Let us begin to pray and talk to the Lord as we come to that place of Passover, as we come to the table of healing, a table of deliverance, a table where we want to reestablish a new covenant with our God. We want to go back to to that place where we have fallen from and start so that God himself will build in us and through us. And we will have a new heart. We will not be building new altars with an old heart, but we'll build a new altar with a new heart on the new earth that we can enjoy in the name of Jesus. Let us begin to talk to the Lord. Let's begin to talk to the Lord right now individually, Father, in the name of Jesus. Because those of you joining me, let's talk to the Lord as we all go to the communion table. Every one of us, please, just get the bread, the biscuit, and the wine ready. Let's talk to the Lord. I know the Lord has spoken. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, as you have spoken, we will not, number one, have the enemy steal this word from anyone's heart. I bind you, Satan. I bind you, principalities and powers. I bind and I speak to every distraction, speak to every deceitfulness of riches, the worries, the cares of this life that will attempt to choke this word. I say you will not succeed. Satan, I bind you, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, whatever domain where you are, in the name of Jesus, I arrest every voice that is not of God that you're hearing, in the name of Jesus. Every voice masquerading as the voice of the shepherd, in the name of Jesus, I silence it. Please, everybody pray. I give you a scripture of the word of the Lord. If you don't know God right now, the word of the Lord has come to you tonight. Everything you've heard is the word of the Lord coming and will never return to him void. Yes, will not return. Will accomplish what God pleases in your life. The word of the Lord prospers in your heart, in your situation, in your family, in your home, in your marriage. The dryness you're experiencing in your marriage, in your business, in everything, but more is internally because of the state of the heart. Let us return to our first love tonight. Let us return in the name of Jesus. And I silence every voice. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It says, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. Yes, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn. Silence every contrary voice. Listen, people, the word of the Lord will come to you. The word of the Lord will come to you. It is not difficult to hear the word of the Lord. We just need to be in the place where the word of the Lord will come and we will be patient to hear, to listen. Don't struggle. Don't make God speak. You'll just listen. Patiently wait on the word of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray upon every heart. Please, those joining me on the screen, please let's pray for ourselves and pray for everyone right now. We pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, you will confirm your word with signs following. I pray, Lord, for Ntututu watching all the way from South Africa. In the name of Jesus, there is no distance in the spirit. Lord, the word of the Lord is sent to Ntutu right now. Word of healing, word of deliverance. Right where you are, I thank you, Lord, for my brother Ben Olui. In the name of Jesus, the word of the Lord heals you. My sister Roberta, everyone watching, wherever you're watching from, the word of the Lord has come to you. The word of the Lord comes and brings healing. The word of the Lord will not return. You will prosper. Yes, the word of the Lord will establish you. The word of the Lord will cleanse you. You are washed with the washing of the water by the word of the Lord tonight. You will not miss it. You will not hear a contrary voice. The voice of the shepherd you will hear. You will not hear the voice of the hireling. You will hear the voice of the Lord. You will not hear my voice. I say in the name of Jesus, you will not hear my voice. You will hear the voice of the word of the Lord, the voice of the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, I decree you will not miss it. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus, but open your heart and surrender. Surrender right now and stop deceiving yourself. Listen, listen. Stop deceiving. Don't let your heart deceive you. In the name of Jesus, just Lord, I surrender my heart. I got to a place in my life where I realized I've got to surrender my agenda. I've got to surrender my ambition. There's this song, all of my hopes, ambitions, and plans. Lord, I lay them down. I surrender all to you. This is where God wants you to be. The word of the Lord has come to you tonight. You surrender. You surrender. Do not struggle. The word of the Lord that brought you to the dry brook, the same word of the Lord will take you to the next phase of your life. You don't need to surrender. I mean, you don't need to struggle. All you need to do is surrender. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus, can we come to the Lord's table right now? Get the wine. Get the bread. It is symbolic of the blood of Jesus shed. And in the name of Jesus, the body of Jesus broken. It was broken. It was, the blood was shed so that we will be healed and we will be cleansed first. Forgiveness of all our iniquities, healing of all our diseases. And Father, right now, Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Our great high priest, thank you. You said we should do this. As often as we do this, you said, in remembrance of you. In remembrance of you. And tonight, I read to us from 1 Chronicles, sorry, 2 Chronicles and chapter 10. Sorry, Corinthians and chapter 10. And I read from verse number, sorry, it's 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians, sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Oh, it's on the screen, sir.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. Thank you. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. So please, everyone, take the bread. This is the body of Jesus broken for you. This is the body of Jesus broken, that the blood will be shed. By his stripes, broken, he was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon that body, so that by his stripes we'll be healed. Yep, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, Father, I thank you tonight. Please, everyone, give thanks. The word you heard tonight will heal you, has healed you. The work, God has started work within you. Yes, thank him for the work. Thank him for bringing you back from whence you have fallen, restoring your heart. The Bible said he broke it and said, please break, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding us of what you have told us. Right now we receive a new heart. We receive cleansing. We receive purging of our consciences. And we thank you for bringing us from that place of dryness to the place of peace, from the place of turmoil and confusion to the place of instruction and direction, in the name of Jesus. Please eat. And Lord, I pray for that person who's feeling unworthy as they have taken the bread right now or afraid to take the bread. You said we should examine ourselves. We should not eat unworthily. Thank you for the conviction that has come upon these ones to let them see that by themselves they are not worthy, but you are the one who makes us worthy. So right now, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the body of Jesus broken, just like the days of the Passover, the angel of death pass over you, the blood of Jesus cleanse you. Eat the bread. Eat it with thanksgiving, thanking God that you have forgiven. You are forgiven. Every of your iniquity forgiven in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 25. So just continue and join us. I sense some people felt unworthy and said they wouldn't take it. But God has told you now. He's made you his righteousness in Christ Jesus. That conviction you had is of the Holy Spirit. That unworthy feeling you had is of the Holy Spirit. But now he's making you worthy, reassuring you that mercy prevails over judgment. Reassuring you that, yes, you are unworthy, but that's why I brought the word of the Lord, not to condemn you, but to cleanse you. and bring you back to myself, saith the Lord. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians 11, in the same manner he also took the bread, the cup, after supping, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So right now, give thanks again that all your sins are forgiven. Note that word, all. All. That's the benefit of the Lord, that the Lord brings to us. He forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. So in the name of Jesus, give thanks that all your sins, all my sins are forgiven. I am reconciled from where I've fallen from. Lord, you've brought me back to yourself. This blood is the new covenant, and I drink it with thanksgiving, knowing that I'm back on track in the name of Jesus. He said, drink all of it. Drink all of it. You are cleansed in the name of Jesus. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Please just pray right now. Thank God. Thank God again. And I will read the word of the Lord, a prophetic word of the Lord to us as we close. It's in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel and chapter 36. This is what the Lord is saying to you. This is what the Lord is saying to me. Where you see the house of Israel, please put in your family, put in yourself, put in your name, and see what God is saying to you at this time. I read Ezekiel from chapter 36. And I read so that for the sake of context from verse 22. It says, therefore say to the house of, please put your name there, say to the house of Fola, thus says the Lord, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Fola, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. This is the promise of the Lord. Listen, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Please say amen.
Amen.
Verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Please say amen.
Amen.
Verse 26, I will give you a new heart.
Amen.
And pour a new spirit within you.
Amen.
I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh.
Amen.
And give you a heart of flesh. Please, at this point, just say, Lord, I receive a new heart. I receive a new spirit within me right now. Thank you for taking a heart of stone out of me and giving me a heart of flesh, a heart that thirsts, pants after righteousness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Say amen.
Amen.
Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. I will be your God.
Amen.
I will deliver you from all uncleanness.
Amen.
I will call for the grain and multiply it.
Amen.
And bring no famine upon you. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations.
Amen.
Verse 31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. And not for your sake do I do this. This is the beauty of God, people. says the Lord, let it be known to you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel, O house of Fuller. Thus says the Lord, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt.
Amen.
The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by.
Amen.
So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited.
Amen.
Then the nations which are left all around you shall know it, that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate.
Amen.
I, the Lord, have spoken it,
Amen.
And I will do it.
Amen.
Verse 37, thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Fola inquire
Amen.
Of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock of Jerusalem on his feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men.
Amen.
Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody lift up your hand, put on your heart or your head. Just say, Lord, be it unto me.
According to your word.
I am healed.
I
am delivered.
My
heart is right.
I live right.
I love right.
I
have a new heart.
I build new altars.
I prosper on the new earth. According to the word of the Lord, that will never return void, but accomplish what God pleases in my life. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you and enjoy the newness of what God is doing in your heart and through you tonight.